Newtown Radioactive for Wednesday, July 13th, 2005.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Well, folks, welcome to Nuketown Radioactive number 11. Just to catch up, folks who may be joining us for the first time because of iTunes 4.9 or some of the plugs that Nuketown has thankfully gotten on other podcasts. My name is Ken Newquist, and I'm the host of Radioactive. I've been publishing, editing, and writing Nuketown.com since about 1996. I do a fair amount of freelance writing, including a monthly column called Summon Web Scryer for Nights at the Dinner Table, and I do an occasional game and web reviews for sci-fi.com. During my day job, I'm a web applications developer at a local college, but more on that at the next podcast. And lastly, I'm based in Easton, Pennsylvania. So this particular podcast, as promised, is dedicated entirely to a music CD called The 13th Hour by Midnight Syndicate. It's a horror soundtrack that's been officially endorsed for Call of Cthulhu by Chaosium. And for those of you who don't know, Call of Cthulhu is a horror role-playing game based on the writings of H.P. Lovecraft and set in the Cthulhu mythos. Basically, it's the whole investigating secrets that man was not meant to know. And when you discover them, you are generally driven mad and caused to run screaming from it if it doesn't turn around and eat you. The soundtrack that was created by Midnight Syndicate. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, yeah, this would be one of those customary screw-ups that I always have, as my train of thought just completely and utterly derails. But you know what? I've been trying to keep it, I guess you could say, real and not cover up for my blatant mistake, so we'll just get right back to it, okay? Anyway, a little bit about Midnight Syndicate. They've been doing horror soundtracks for years. Their most recent album, actually, though, had nothing to do with horror. It was the official Dungeons & Dragons soundtrack, which diverged from their history to create something that was very reminiscent of what was found in the Conan movies. It was still tinged with horror, but it was very much more of a fantasy soundtrack. And for those of you who might be thinking, oh my god, is he talking about the soundtrack for the Dungeons & Dragons movie? No. This is something else entirely. This was, I'm not exactly sure exactly what the logistics were for it, but it was a Dungeons & Dragons branded original soundtrack designed for the game. And it was pretty good. I have a review up on it. I have a review of it up on Nuketown. It was a good mix of kind of like that heroic fantasy as well as kind of the horror aspected, you know, delving through the dungeons. There wasn't a lot of tracks you could use in a city or tracks you could use in a tavern or anything like that, which was a disappointment. But for what it was a pretty good pretty good soundtrack. Now, I want to take a step back and talk a little bit about music and Call of Cthulhu. For me, music is just an essential component of running any horror role-playing game. I don't care if it's Call of Cthulhu or any of the other games that are out there, which I don't actually know what the other games are that are out there. I guess you could run a game using GURPS, or you could run a game, I think there was an old system called Chill that I remember hearing about in college, but that's really here nor there. But I think music helps to set the atmosphere as much as, say, darkening the room and lighting some candles. And in my experience, it's just amazing how the pacing of the game seems to shape itself based on the sounds that are coming out of the CD player. Really, I think there's almost an unconscious thing that's going on amongst the players and amongst the DM that just kind of shifts the action in accordance with the music that's presently being played. Now, a good DM obviously can key up tracks as needed. But in my experience, especially when you're dealing with some loopable stuff, you know, it just seems to key up. You know, people will shift the action as need be, and they don't even really intend to do it. Now, me personally, I first discovered Call of Cthulhu in college thanks to my friend Adam Fox, who to this day really ran the best Cthulhu events that I've played in. Hands down, I mean, really nobody did it better than Adam. And a key aspect of what made his game so great was that he relied heavily on music to set the tone. And for that, he He used kind of his own soundtrack that he put together based on the Dark Shadows vampire soap opera. There's a, I think it was like a 30th anniversary soundtrack that was put out for that that he used. And I think he, if I remember correctly, he also used some tracks from horror movies, some of the more subtle ones like Halloween. I don't remember the other ones. It's been a long time. It's been way too long since I was in college. But he was just deft hand at it, guys. He was able to put together a great soundtrack. And The 13th Hour, having listened through the CD, is probably the best setting music I've listened to since that long ago Call of Cthulhu session. It tells musically the tale of a story of the investigation of a haunted house and the final horror that arises in The 13th Hour. For this, I mean, the soundtrack, it's really designed, really obviously, to go with your classic Call of Cthulhu adventure, which generally takes place in the 1920s. The horror investigations are really taking on the feel of H.P. Lovecraft's original fiction. Now, you can run, there are settings for Call of Cthulhu. You can run it in 1890s, which is Cthulhu by Gaslight. You can also do modern era. But really, this album is geared towards your classic Call of Cthulhu tale, in which some ancient horror has infested a house and now our brave and probably quite stupid and not long for this earth adventurers, or rather investigators, set out to find out what the nature of the horror is. Now, the cool thing here is that Midnight Syndicate has given me permission to play two tracks from the album. The first of these tracks is Fallen Grandeur, which is pretty much a standard haunted house fare. It relies heavily on organs backed by choral singing. It's pretty traditional, and it's what you would expect. There are better tracks on this album, and I'm going to get into some of my favorites later on. But this is one of the ones I have permission to play, so I'm just going to play it now, and you can get a feel for it. As with the Atomic Swindlers review that I did earlier, I've gotten permission to play this for this particular podcast. If you guys would like to play it on your podcasts, please contact Midnight Syndicate yourself to set up those permissions. But now, without further ado, here is Fallen Grandeur. Thank you. So there you go. That was Fallen Grandeur from the album The 13th Hour. Like I say, it's kind of what you would expect from a haunted house soundtrack. Decent. I enjoy it. And I think it's good for kind of setting the tone for the adventure. But like I say, there are other tracks that I really enjoyed more on this album. Now, the next track is called Family Secrets. Starts out with a piano playing a tempo that's reminiscent. I think it's The Exorcist that this is calling to mind. It might be the Amityville Horror, but I think it's The Exorcist. But it's really evoking all of those kind of spooky, haunting movies. And I think this is a better representative track from the album because it starts off kind of slow, and then it picks up and really gets some head of steam going to it near the end of the song. And it starts to talk about, it starts to... I'm trying to put this into the proper words. It gives you a better feel for the range that this album offers you. It's not all just organs and spooky choral voices. The album really has some good depth going for it. Once again, here is another track from the album, Family Secrets. So again, there you go. More pretty cool stuff. But I did want to talk about some of my favorite tracks from the album that I'm not going to get a chance to play, but I think were pretty damn cool. First was The Forgotten Path, which is just a great setup track. It's got the low buzz of summer insects that's punctuated by the occasional crow call. It's not really a musical track. It's much more of an audio track. It's easily loopable, and it's excellent for those initial investigations around the exterior of the house, where you've got your investigators and they're kind of tentatively exploring the grounds, trying to get a feel for what exactly is going on, you know, and of course that's where they find their first horrifying vision as, you know, I don't know, they stumble across the corpse of a dead dog or something, you know. So it's definitely very good for that kind of prelude type thing where things haven't quite gotten into full-on horror mode, but you're trying to set the tone. You're trying to get people a little bit on edge. Now, if you want to really screw with them, Time Outside of Time is a great track. I think it's probably my favorite track on the album. It's very moody, atmospheric, and I would say, without sounding like too much of a pompous ass, darkly transcendent. It is, in short, a perfect opener. I can easily see playing this as the prelude music for the game while everyone's getting set up, the candles are being lit, the last of the jokes are being told. You know, it's just really good stuff. It's a piano track with occasional, I guess you would call them, choral risings. And, you know, one of the things I need to do with these freaking music reviews is I really need to get a better grasp of musical terminology, because I feel like I'm letting you guys down with my descriptions, but I think this was just a really good track. I could definitely use this as setup. I think it will grab your party's attention. Now, Hand in Hand again is another track. It's great for those shining moments, you know, when things are starting to get thin, and you've got voices from the past that start crossing over, and really messing with your players' minds. It's got a bass musical track, but it punctuates it with these distant, almost understandable voices. And I think the creep out factor here is very strong. I mean, and if you go to you want to go with the Shining example. You know, when Jack is sitting by himself in the bar room, and the bartender appears, and you know, you're starting to get a feel for the horror that happened at the Overlook. That is this track. This is the kind of thing that is really great for evoking the things are not quite right here. Grizzly Reminder is just a discordant song that's going to set your teeth on edge. The primary song is played in tune, but then there's this second track that kind of echoes and is reminiscent of the first, but it's out of tune. It's kind of like playing at right angles to reality. It's perfect for just throwing the players just a curveball, and really kind of messing with their heads. The Last Room is a faster paced track. I'm sorry, I kind of screwed that up. I'm right. Yeah, screwing up my own show notes, right? Oh, man. Anyway, The Lost Room is a faster-paced, driving kind of track. It's relentless. It's got this relentless background beat that should really help inspire the right amount of tension in your players. You know, great for that final fight, or perhaps even better, escaping from the final fight. You know, the horror is destroying the mansion. The players are ready to escape. They're fleeing for their lives. This track's in the background. And, you know, if it doesn't have people freaking out, then just, well, you've done something wrong. Now, the last track on the album, appropriately enough, is called The 13th Hour. It's kind of the culminating apocalyptic track that pulls together all of the themes from the album, and it's the one in which everything goes to pieces. I really enjoy this track, except for this. It works wonderfully from a musical standpoint. I mean, if you're just listening to this album, you're trying to get into the mood while you're writing, it's great. And it ends, like, this whole cacophony that comes together in this track just kind of comes to this crashing end and then leaves off with just, like, the sounds of the chirping, which, you know, which alludes to Back to the Forgotten Path, and, you know, just everything's been destroyed. You know, Jack is now one with the hotel. Now, but what makes it such a great musical track kind of screws it for being a gaming track, because the track is 2 minutes and 35 seconds long, and it's this kind of crashing end means that it's not really loopable. When the track's over, it's over. So, you know, maybe coupled with one of the earlier tracks, you can put together something. If you know that the end is coming and you want to kind of drive that home, you might be able to fix it to make it work. But I got to say, it wasn't quite working for me. The way that this is. I mean, what I would really have loved is if they could have had this track, and then they could have had an alternative version of this track, either on the album or available as a download from their website, even as a purchase from their website, where it was designed to be loopable, because this is an awesome track. I think it's great for setting people on edge. It's going to be great for that final battle. It's just that it just kind of ends. And it was so frustrating for me when, you know, I listened to it. And I'm like, wow, this was great. And then I started thinking about it and going, it's almost too great because it's not going to be able to do what I wanted to do. I'm not going to be able to use this track in game the way I would expect, not without maybe, you know, to bring it into the GarageBand and messing around with it a little bit. But even then, you know, it's just not set up to be loopable. So overall, I got to say, really enjoyed the CD. I think it's going to be great. You know, if you're a Call of Cthulhu person and you love Cthulhu, you've been waiting for this soundtrack. For you guys, you know, I'd say 9 out of 10. I'm tempted to go with an 8 out of 10 just because this last track annoyed me so much. But, you know, I think these guys did good work. I would have liked to have seen some of the tracks be a little bit more, I don't want to say original, but I wish more of the tracks had surprised me, and that could also drag it back into 8. And I'll tell you right now, even as I'm recording this, I'm just kind of there on the edge. I'm kind of balancing back and forth between an 8 and a 10. I mean, on the one hand, you want to have a traditional soundtrack for a haunting. You want to not necessarily be surprised that much because you want to be able to rely on the cues and to, you know, build that atmosphere. But at the same time, to be able to be surprised occasionally, I would just like to have seen just a few more tracks that were like that on the album. You know, maybe just two or three more that were like The Grisly Reminder, or that were like The Lost Room, or that were like The 13th Hour. Now, one thing that I can definitely say that I'm not going to complain about that I think was awesome was that you're really getting your money's worth on the CD. You are looking at 25 tracks on this album, which, you know, just rocks. You know, I'm disappointed when I get a soundtrack and, like, for example, the Ring, which I reviewed a couple of podcasts ago. It was the soundtrack for The Ring 2. Real big disappointment. The music was okay, but, you know, it was only a handful of tracks. I mean, it was like 12 tracks, which, you know, if you're pulling the music from two different horror movies, you'd think you'd really have some legs there that, you know, you'd easily be able to get 20 tracks, but alas, no. So, yeah, this is a pretty good album. The total running time is 56 minutes. I think that my definitive rating, just kind of thinking about it after having recorded this podcast, I think I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. It's definitely a strong 8 out of 10, maybe a weaker 9 out of 10, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't really have any complaints. I think that folks who are into Cthulhu are going to like this, and it's definitely worth picking up. So that's pretty much, you know, the review of the 13th Hour. I'll have links in the show notes to Midnight Syndicate's website where you can check out tracks from their previous albums. You can buy the CD, so forth and so on. So that's about it for this particular podcast. If you'd like to comment me, there's another one of those screw up guys. Don't you love them? If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me via Skype at the username Nuketown, and you can also send email to nuketown@gmail.com. As always, audio comments are welcome. As far as what's next up for Radioactive, really, it's going to be kind of a station-keeping podcast, folks. Whole lot of site news, whole lot of show news, some sort of a book review. I haven't figured out which one I'm going to do yet. And I'm looking to do another one of those screw-ups, but I'm going to muddle through, folks. Also, probably a review of Wizards of the Coast's Monster Manual 3, because I've wanted to do a review of that for a long time. So, that's about all. Talk to you later, folks.